John Batchelor with Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing most recent Nuclear Politics of a Revelation of the Harvard University Curriculum Catalog, which is available to Harry Lewis, a former dean of the college, a longtime professor at the college, in which he discovered that certain words that you'd have to say are not inflammatory words. They're sort of, you pay attention when the word comes up because you know that there's a part two. So, Peter, what is to be done? What would work? I've asked you about whether faculty members are in some fashion guided when they put out the course catalog. Is there anything else? Would a meeting with the faculty saying, guys, we got to tone it down. We've gone too far. We've got problems. The president of the university was jettisoned because of our work. That the board of governors is in a quandary about how to choose a new president. There's dissatisfaction everywhere. Some of our major professors are complaining. This is just Harvard, you know. It's everywhere. Oh, we've got to do something. What can they do, Peter?
Well, we are not talking about physical therapy for a strained knee. We're talking about major surgery. For the universities. Remember, you would be appealing to professors who spent decades being socialized by warped norms and distorted incentives, and many of them have tenure. And so the levers that the universities have to change their conduct are quite limited. Moreover, if you tell many tenured professors that they really need to distinguish between what they want to teach and what students need to learn, the professors will reply to, well, what students need to learn is what we're teaching. Nothing could be more important than our specialty or our preferred political alternatives. So first thing we have to recognize is how difficult change will be, making change will be. And second, or related to that, we need to realize how far back the problem goes. So from Lewis emphasizes that the curriculum has been politicized over the last 20 years with a special intensity. I think that's right. But what he overlooks is that the change in curricula, certainly at Harvard in the 70s, I suspect elsewhere around the same time, occurred, in which traditional core curricula were abandoned. This is early to mid 70s, and replaced with general distribution requirements in 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 different branches of knowing. In other words, from the 70s forward, universities abandoned the idea that to be an educated person, students needed to learn the great ideas and defining events and major institutions of their civilization and other civilizations. Instead, they needed to learn moral reasoning and political reasoning and quantitative reasoning and aesthetic reasoning and so on. This was a wonderful way to flatter students' belief that they should get to choose, and it was a wonderful way for professors to begin to focus on teaching their specialties and advance their political ends. So what we need to get to your practical question, what needs to be done? We need presidents of universities, we need deans and provosts of universities, and we need department chairs who say, no, this practice has ended. There is a difference between what professors like to teach and how students need to be educated. And we need leaders at our universities to reestablish a basic curriculum of ideas, events and institutions that all educated people should be familiar with. And if I just may add, we also need that curriculum to be taught in the proper spirit, in which one welcomes discussion and debate, and in which the professor teaches the students that nothing can be considered understood in the humanities or the social sciences unless arguments on both sides of the question have been heard.
Yes, and all wonderful suggestions. I want to come, however, to an example of something that happened at Harvard that didn't require preparation over decades. The online statement issued by the Harvard Undergraduate Palestine Solidarity Committee. signed by supposedly 33 other student groups that started the trouble. It had the line in it, you quote, "The Israeli regime entirely responsible for all unfolding violence. You don't need to worry about decolonization in class to know that's rubbish. You don't need to be alarmed that the anti-Semitism that cursed the 20th century is back on campus." And yet, no one noticed, Peter. That's what's fantastic about it. When the three college professors were there in front of the House of Representatives and commenting on tolerance and free speech on campus, no one noticed how dangerous that statement is until it was brought to their attention by being fired.
Yes. It is amazing. Just think about what kind of intellectual habits you have developed or failed to develop. If you endorse the proposition that victims of an atrocity are entirely responsible for that atrocity, and this is so serious, I shouldn't focus on a formal point, but just for a moment, I will. In what area of human affairs is an individual entirely responsible for anything? These people, by the way, they signed the letter on the very day that Hamas was committing these atrocities against the Israelis on the border with the Gaza Strip. Had nothing they learned at Harvard taught them that they probably should investigate a little further before they reach such an incredibly damning judgment that Israeli Jews are responsible for the rapes, the maiming, the mutilation, the killing of themselves? How is Harvard home to such students, I think, is a very important question that needs an answer.
I get the impression from the column that you link in the Harvard Crimson written by Professor Lewis that he's puzzled, ultimately puzzled as well, that changing language isn't going to get to the problem. The problem is more profound than that. We just have a minute left. Since these many weeks have gone by and there's been a lot of other bad news around the world, Do you get information that Harvard is coming to terms with this, or are they skating by it?
Coming to terms is probably too strong. I think that Professor Lewis has written an honorable column. I think he understands deeply that the curriculum is in desperate need of reform, that he has a good sense of the direction that it must take. And I wish Professor Lewis good luck in persuading more of his colleagues. I think he has however, a steep uphill battle ahead of him.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing at Real Clear Politics. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.